This is Talk Star Wars,
the official podcast at talkstarwars.co.uk.
Welcome back to Talk Star Wars. I'm Mark.
I'm Stephen.
And I'm Rob.
And we're back with episode 28, the episode that will hitherto be known as the Show of Silly Hats.
Thanks the show that will define us.
Yeah, I wish I'd known it was going to be a silly hat cast, otherwise I'd have brought mine along. I would have had to buy a silly hat, to be honest.
Yeah,
it's not a hat, it's a cuddle bag.
Yeah, You keep telling yourself that. Okay, Rob, you wanted to say something at the top of the show before we get into the silly stuff.
Yeah, so just a quick one on this. Sorry to bring the tone down very quickly, but obviously we are all very dismayed and disheartened by the events of at the time of recording today regarding the Labour MP Joe Cox, who was tragically attacked, shot, and since has died from those wounds. So thoughts are with her family, which, you know, there's no place for that stuff in the civilised world.
No,
it's just it's just horrendous.
You're absolutely right.
It's I mean, the details about it all are very kind of chaotic at the moment, so it's not entirely clear what's gone on, but obviously the events themselves are bad enough without any additional bump. So we are all kind of just a bit very saddened by this.
It's just that they can keep politics all out of this. It's just a maniac.
I wish people could keep politics out of it, Steve. The reality is that we're the minority, and there are already people using it for point scoring, which is just disgusting.
It is vile. It is. Her family. Imagine what a poor. I read his.
Yeah, exactly.
Thing tonight, and how he's got the courage to write something that powerful. It's fair play to him.
Absolutely. And for those out there who are listening, who are tempted to use it for sort of any kind of political point scoring, just keep in mind that today two children lost their mum. And do you really want to go down that road today?
It's very, very sobering.
It's not the way.
It's nothing to do with leave or remain. It's purely a mania.
Exactly.
Anyway, but now to the light-hearted stuff. I dissected a frog once.
Oh, here we go. Right. It's our first tangent of the evening, ladies and gentlemen.
I needed to get a frog reference in, and I thought it was quite a similar conversation that was had in Avatar.
You know so your audience, mate. You know your audience.
You've got to chuck a frog in there.
Right, let's get to it.
Stephen,
if you don't, they'll be hopping mad.
Congratulations. That's a high hat. Drum roll that one there.
What's it? It's like he's like Hulk Hogan. He needs Steven Maniacs. They've got to have their frog talk.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
All right. Let's jump into the announcement section then, shall we?
Right.
In our announcement section this evening, we need to welcome a whole bunch of people to our Facebook page.
Nice.
Opinionate This and Shiganya Vels. Yeah, that's a great name, isn't it? Opinionate This. Shiganya Vels Rajan. I'm sorry if I've just brutally demolished your name.
Speaking of great names,
yeah,
that's a really strong one as well.
And Kevin Halden, they all liked our Facebook page this week, so welcome to TSW people. You're very, very welcome.
Welcome.
And some of my personal favourite people on Facebook this week have become TSW sponsors, alongside our dear friend Jeremy and Connor and Leo, who became VIPs this week. Christopher.
Both of them separately or?
No.
As a group, as a collective.
As a team, of course. So that's Jeremy, Connor, Leo, and Christopher and Stacey White, are really active listeners, always commenting. Christopher actually made a Han Solo comment on Facebook this week, Rob. You'd be very pleased to know. Exactly. Stacey is the lady who commented on your frog talk from a couple of episodes ago in the After Dark. So they've all become supporters this week, sponsoring us.
Thank you very much.
Have also, as a result, become VIPs. So thank you very much for your support, guys. It's greatly appreciated.
Indeed. Much appreciated.
And Christopher also went for the triple, keeping it all...
Oh, wow.
All football-y, because he also left us a five-star review on iTunes. Yeah, exactly. Who's Annette and why is it her back?
Well,
that's after Dark Side. Sorry. So Christopher also left us an iTunes review, 5 stars, and this is what he wrote. I had to go to the effort of going to the American store for this. The 3-man crew of Mark, Rob, and Stephen have great chemistry and they know their stuff. Appointment listening without fail. Well, there you go.
I love that phrase, appointment listening.
Yeah.
That is a great phrase. I've never heard it before, but it's absolutely fantastic.
I did love that, Christopher White.
Yeah,
I always did.
I always knew he was a smart guy.
I always held him in the highest esteem. He's very, very nice. I remember when we used to be in NAMM together, he was always got my back. He always had my back.
And Annette.
And Annette's back.
Quick question mark on
that. Yeah, go on.
So did Christopher, his VIP subscription, did he win it by giving us a 5-star review?
No.
Oh, wow.
He didn't. So this is going to roll over. This will roll over now because Christopher's was the only review. If you remember last week, I said, if you leave us a 5-star review, take a screen grab and email it in so I know who's done what, then I can register. I can do a draw. Steve was going to work that out with all of his black magic that he does in Excel. And then we were going to offer them a VIP subscription, the lucky winner. Christopher was the only review that I got. He sent me a notification that he'd done the review so I could go and read it and lift it and read it out tonight. Nobody else has done so. So when that does happen, we'll be giving away a VIP membership. Talking about appointment listening, I'm an appointment listener. There are certain podcasts that I wait like religiously for. Like tomorrow, for example, I know that I'm going to wake up and download The Cult of Mac and that'll be the first thing I do tomorrow is listen to The Cult of Mac. There's a few of those I've got. MakingStarWars.net's Now This Is Podcasting, and it would appear that we are that for some of our listeners.
That's wonderful.
I've just had a message.
Really lovely stuff.
I'm just getting messages now because now people I'm turning on iMessage when we're recording, so people can text message us live.
Oh, brilliant.
Which is happening at the moment. So I just got a message through from Ads Hillier, and he said he'll enjoy listening on Monday because he listens to us on every Monday when the show drops. And he listens to the After Dark Side. So, you know, these people are waiting for it. And like Kyle this afternoon from Tumbling Sable, we had feedback from him. Saw that, didn't you, Rob?
I did.
He was wetting himself laughing to us recording in promotional spot last week. So, we're becoming appointment listening for people. I find that intensely rewarding. So thank you, everyone, for this sort of feedback.
Thank you very much.
It's really enjoyable.
It'll be kind of sad if we ever get big and we have to stop individually thanking and talking about people because it's kind of personal. It would be a shame if we get so many that we can't do it. But
well, it's like Connor mentions later, just to give you a little peek at this week's Connor Corner. He's commented that he likes the way Listener Comms is going, that it's getting more and more listener orientated. And I really like that as well, because it's less work for me to do writing show notes if people write things for us.
Yeah, and also, we've kind of run out of stuff, don't we?
A bit of a Star Wars news drought at the moment. We're at a really weird time where, you know, at the end of last year, you couldn't move for Star Wars news. And now it's all kind of gone quiet. So it will ramp up again. But right now, I'm really getting a lot of... I find this really rewarding just to have these questions coming in, sifting through and finding the appropriate stuff for the show.
Couldn't agree more.
Right, let's get into some listener comms. I'll take this top one if you like. This is from our friend Reese Lucas, @_ReeseLucas on Twitter. He's put, "Hi Mark, if you haven't already covered it, I haven't listened all the way back yet." You've got to get on that, Reese. Do your job. Can you guys speculate about the doll that looked like a rebel pilot in Ray's flat hat? I've just got to give Reese bonus points for flat hat. That's awesome. Genius. That's multi-level. He's working on so many of that. Brilliant. I have to think that JJ put it in the film for a reason. Thanks. So do you recall the reference?
Yes.
Yeah? I know what you mean. Yeah.
What do you think that's about? Is it a bit of fun, a bit of a wink at the audience, or is there something more?
What, she's going to be a future pilot?
I don't know if it means that. I mean, I suppose that's a valid reading. Go on, Rob, far away.
I reckon it's one of those things that, obviously, we've talked about how the rebels are kind of propagandized, you would imagine, by the First Order. As obviously, we know this from Bloodline, right? where yes. it's some, you know, some people talk about them as freedom fighters and some people talk about them as terrorists, as well they might today if it was the same thing were to happen. So it makes me wonder if they're like kind of handmade toys that are passed down through generations, that, you know, they're sort of like, because it's almost like a mythical figure, these rebel pilots, because there's no, they're not going to sell toys of them on Remnant Worlds and anything like that. So I wonder if they're sort of handmade things, sort of legends of the rebellion and things like that. They're kind of passed down from generations of through sympathetic families, and maybe just kind of scavenged it over time.
So not her making it then.
I don't know. I don't think I didn't get that impression.
I think so. When you look at it close up, it is very
rough.
Like, it's made out of Hessian and scrap material, and it's not
if she's just had sort of, you know, overheard stories to go by and things like that, then she might have cobbled something together as a, you know.
Yeah, don't forget.
Because she talks about Luke Skywalker as a myth, doesn't she?
She does talk about Luke as a myth.
And drank him. That helmet
is she's Beetlejuice.
She found a rebel pilot and put him in a vat of salt until he shrank to the appropriate size.
So what you're saying is that so Steve's theory, everybody, for just to kind of, you know, bring it into a neat little package, is that she's cured a rebel pilot.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And
she's
a witch.
Take a vat of those rebel pilots across the Atlantic and sustain herself on rebel pilot with some lime.
That's disturbing.
Because she is a limey. So.
Like that Futurama episode where he's eating mummies that taste like jerky.
I think that she's probably crafted that little thing herself, because she's taken the material from the ships that she's the wreckage and stuff. The pilots probably got out and dumped their flight suits and went into the wastelands of Jakku in their fatigues and what have you. Yeah. And she's just come along and salvaged all of this stuff. Remember, she's got that helmet that we see her wearing in The Force Awakens. Thanks, Steve.
Yes.
And so, you know, she understands what they are, and I think she's just crafted herself a little doll from it. Don't know whether it means that maybe she's seeing visions of Luke as an X-Wing pilot, possibly. I don't know. She's definitely seeing Luke in her visions.
Yeah.
Maybe when she was a child, she had that doll and she always kept it with her. Maybe Luke gave it to her, somebody gave it to her when they dumped her off, as the only thing to take with her.
Yeah.
Oh, possible.
Yeah, that's a good point. So it's like a keepsake.
I mean, it's entirely possible it is just one of those little things that's put in as a kind of fan service.
Yeah.
They had the I can't remember what the name of the game is, like the sort of the holographic chess table, and it kicked back in at the point where they'd left the game last time, sort of thing.
The Jarek table.
Thank you, Jarek, that's the one. Things like that are little kind of nods to the older films, so maybe it could just as easily be just something like that. But it'd be nice to kind of believe that she made it herself as a kind of, it's like a memento, a physical manifestation of all the sort of tales and legends she's heard over the years.
It's actually quite sad as well, if she's making her own toys. She's like so lonely, she's self-soothing and making her own toys. It makes her seem, it gives her a sadder origin.
Could be worse though. She could be talking to them.
Yeah,
you know, like sitting there, sort of, you know, moving the head with the back, with two fingers on the back of the head, just going like, "Oh,
I'm talking out the side of her mouth, like like Cartman."
Yeah. Cold day on Jakku today. Oh, it really is.
What's the hair?
Okay, well, thanks for that question, Reese. That's a really nice one to get Reese started, and bonus points for Flat Out. I think I might. I am definitely naming the episode Flat Out this evening.
Do it. That's awesome.
Okay, Ads contacted us. By the way, Steve, as says, you look like you're wearing an Ewok in that screen grab that we take. You're wearing an Ewok on your head.
No, an Ewok's fallen on me from a great height.
He contacted us regarding the Freemakers trailer and the Skywalker lightsaber theory that I put out this week. Did you guys see that? See anything about that? You saw the Freemaker trailer as well, Steve?
No, sorry, I was looking at something else.
Okay. Apologies. Well, let me just give you a little bit of...
I thought you meant have I seen this question. I'm looking at it, yeah.
Yeah, no, there's a new trailer that came out this week for the new Disney XD TV show. It's a Lego Star Wars TV show. So clearly it's aimed at a very young audience. But what when I watched it, a couple of things really stood out to me. And that and I will try and be concise. The first ever lightsaber was called the Kyber Saber.
Okay.
I know this isn't canon, but hear me out. Yep. The first ever lightsaber was called the Kyber Saber, and it was ridiculously powerful. I mean, like, destroy a moon powerful, this thing. So the Jedi destroyed it by smashing its blade into separate little pieces, little crystals. And then each of the Jedi took a piece off. They went in different directions, presumably to... Obviously, I'm basing this on a trailer. Presumably to hide it and keep those pieces safe. Now, between episodes 5 and 6, Palpatine learns about the Kyber Saber and decides that he wants it because it's a powerful weapon. Think like the Elder Wand in Harry Potter, right?
Yep.
So our heroes in this TV show called the Freemaker Family, they set out on a mission, it would appear, because this is based on only the trailer, to pick up every piece of the blade from the Kyber Saber, which look like little blue Kyber crystals.
Yeah.
Luke's involved.
Okay.
Lando and Chewbacca are involved.
Yep.
And most importantly, Maz Kanata is involved.
Mm-hmm.
And we know from the trailer that they got a Bespin at some point. So if you string those disparate elements together, the conclusion I came to was that the crystal at the heart of Luke Skywalker's lightsaber is part of the Kyber Saber's blade.
Okay.
And that's why it's such an important weapon. And that's why Maz is out.
Sorry, this is Anakin's saber, right?
This is the Skywalker saber, yeah. Anakin's original lightsaber. So that's why Maz is involved. They go to Bespin, get that weapon, and she takes it and hides it in the basement of the castle.
Right.
That's the theory that I postulated this week. Now, Rob, you pointed out that the Freemakers isn't canon, but there are canon elements
in
that
are.
Show, like Luke, Chewie, and Lando, and Bespin. So we can't deny. I know that things like Palpatine screaming, gimme, 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 about the Kyber Saber, that's clearly not canon. But Maz Kanata is canon, and this there might be something, there might be an element of truth in this story. Anyway, that's what came out of that.
I was reading last week, when we were talking about sabers, I was listening to the podcast, I found somewhere somebody talking about the Kyber crystals are used partly because if you're, when somebody's assembling a lightsaber and they may accidentally invert the power, the Kyber crystals are the only thing that are powerful enough not to explode.
Oh, right. Okay. That's interesting.
And that's why, because you could make a saber in other ways, but they can contain any problems with the lightsaber. Or there was something, it was referencing that power grid or the matrix of the power grid.
Right.
Okay.
I can't remember where I read it.
That's pretty deep, though.
Yeah, I don't know if it's true. I don't know if that's canon or not, but...
Probably not by now. It's a question of, you know, what is rather than what isn't anymore, because there's so much stuff that's just been scrubbed out. Mm. It's tough to keep track, to be honest.
But, yeah, it's a bit of a game now, this whole canon thing, isn't it? But
very much so, yeah. I mean, Wikipedia has a reasonably good section where they kind of, they tab it so that you've got canon and legends on two separate pages within the same... They got the same on. They're on the same page, but they're within two sort of frames.
That is where I read it.
Well, yeah, that's interesting.
I was okay. The trouble is, if there's elements of something that aren't both there, if there's something within the Star Wars universe that isn't both canon and legends in some form, it won't be tabbed out. It will just have a single thing above it. So it's hard to tell. If you just go to your sort of default state, then it's whatever it is, rather than having the option to choose. Because like Anakin Skywalker's got, you know, canon section and a legend section based on stuff he's done in books and films. But some stuff is just one or the other. Yeah.
Right. Should we jump onto Ad's question? Someone who wants to read Ad's question?
Okay, if you like.
Yeah, go on in, mate.
So, this, hey, great theory based around the Kyber Saber artifact got me thinking. A few thoughts. If it was forged a long time ago, I wonder if Snoke comes into the equation somewhere back then.
Okay.
Also, the Freemakers are described as scavengers during the Age of the Empire, a link to Rey's undoubted future skill set. I agree with you that she is a child of the Force, but she could have been brought up and then left on Jakku by the Freemakers connected with Maz. Maz is Church of the Force, as per your theory. Maybe when a child of the Force is created, the process is linked somehow with one of the Kyber crystals, i.e. Rey created by manipulating the Force midichlorians with one of the crystals, thus binding her to the brother crystal in the lightsaber, thereby letting it call to her. Ooh, that's not deep at all.
That's a solid theory. That is really good.
Yeah, I know a theory is that Anakin was created by Plagueis, which makes me wonder whether Rey was created by a powerful Jedi like Luke Skywalker, or maybe even Snoke, using a crystal they had discovered. It's a rough around the edges theory for now, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on whether you could take or add from it. Add or take from it. As ever, I look forward to listening. Thank you very much.
Yeah, so what do we think to that then? Is there any? Is there a connection between these crystals and Rey's origin?
I like the idea that there's this. There has to be a physical item that's almost used to focus the power, because obviously we know that kyber crystals are used to focus lightsaber blades.
Yeah.
And obviously, and presumably they're also used for the same purpose in things like turbo lasers and stuff like that. They're used as focusing elements. So the idea of them being used to focus power to do things that aren't directly related is quite intriguing.
Mm. Yeah, really,
I don't think they're going to they'll mention a kyber crystal in any of the future Star Wars films.
I don't think they will either.
We know that they play a big part in Rogue One.
Yeah, because they're in the era. Because like I say, they've turned up in Rebels as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But do you think, like, after the big sort of Medichlorian gate, where they ruined the whole magic of it by taking it apart scientifically and making it biological instead of sort of supernatural, for want of a better word?
Yeah,
I don't think they want to. Lightsabers are kind of a magic weapon, aren't they? They're like, oh my god, this is awesome! How the hell does that work? It's tiny, it's got so much power, it can go through 6 foot of steel, it's amazing. Yeah. And if you start taking it apart and giving us a flaw, you know, a plan of it, and yeah, well, this is how it works.
You demystify it, won't you?
Yes. Mm. So I'm not sure, unless they make the kyber crystals supernatural in some way.
Yeah.
And then
they've got a sentience or something.
Because a midichlorian is just a bug, isn't it, basically?
Essentially, yeah. it's like a plasma or something. It's just a certain concentration of it in your blood is what makes you powerful.
I think
go on, Mark.
I was just going to say, I think Steve might have hit on something there, actually, that going into this level of minutia might have a place in the expanded storytelling, like in the novelization or within a game.
Probably a bit much for a film.
Maybe a bit much, and demystifying it. And then we end up in Star Trek territory, don't we?
Yeah, that's very true, actually. I agree with that.
You don't need to know too much.
From a layman who's watching Star Wars and loves Star Wars but doesn't know that minutia like you guys and possibly me, but not yet, they're gonna go in the film and go, oh, that's
boring. Yeah, or like,
or you've made all these kyber crystals up to explain a lightsaber because they didn't do it in the first three films. Because how would it work? So they wouldn't realize that they've been around since the word
for ages,
in the mythology of it all.
Well, they changed the subject. Go on. You were going to try and say this before.
So on the subject of magic, I'm noticing an increasing trend of things that related to either Star Wars news or Star Wars speculation framed in a way that makes it sound like a poor man's Harry Potter. Which concerns me a bit. Do you see the? I know you sent it to me, Mark. I don't know how deep you read into it. The email from the Stormtrooper Larry.
Yeah.
The one about Jedi history and the sort of the rumored leaked dialogue.
Oh, God, yeah, I loved that.
It told a good story, but it all sounded, like I said, it all sounded a bit Hogwarts to me.
Yeah.
It was a little bit. So I found myself a little bit apprehensive by the end, thinking, oh, they won't go down that route. Well, it just sounds daft.
Well, they have to. I mean, they share common ancestry, don't they? Harry Potter and Luke Skywalker and Frodo. They're the same mythical archetype. They're Joseph Campbell's hero. So if they come from the same place, they're going to share some DNA at some point.
Yeah.
Just that element that we read last night, which I've taken out of tonight's show notes, but it was on the docket for a little while. Yeah. I found absolutely stunning. Carl sent that to me and I read through it and I hit him back and said that really gave me chills reading that.
Yeah.
And if it's not in the film, then it was really well written for something that isn't going to be in the film. I really liked that. I like the inclusion of Yoda. I like the idea that Luke would invite her to take his hand so that he could show her these things. And it just, I really dug it. It doesn't concern me that it's pulling on those same resources. If anything, I will welcome a return to the mythic for Star Wars and move a little bit away from politics and things, you know, back to the Empire Strikes Back type mythic stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, you're right. It's going off in a different direction. Ryan did promise us something dark and weird when he took the reins.
Mm-hmm.
And that does, from what I read last night, that sounded dark and weird.
It did sound a little odd, yeah. Mm. Very a little bit surrealist. I mean, they've got a tough one because they've got a lot to kind of... Well, they've either got a lot to cover or they leave certain things ambiguous. And either way, they're not going to make everybody happy.
No.
So it's a tough one to call.
Yeah. Okay. Well, sorry, ads. We wandered off on a little bit of a tangent there. I think maybe I like where you've taken that. I put a tweet out earlier this week and said the Talk Star Wars listeners would take the ball and run with it, and ads has certainly done that here. Big time. And I like these elements, but I don't think we'll see them in a movie because, like Steve said, it demystifies things too much.
Yeah.
And it might have a place in a novel or something, comic book series perhaps.
Yeah.
But explain in a way... demystifying the Force. That's the crime that took place in episode one with the midichlorians in the first place.
Yeah.
So perhaps they won't go that route. We've had an email from Evidentialist again, from our friend Ilya, who's very active on our YouTube channel. Okay. Hi, guys. I found a very interesting article on Movie Pilot from a while ago where someone makes an intriguing case for the Rey Solo theory.
Okay.
You know, I'm, as in Ilya, is firmly in the Rey Skywalker camp.
Yep.
But I have to admit that this article makes some very good points. It was written before Bloodline, but I honestly don't think anything in that book debunks the Rey Solo theory. Just because the book doesn't mention a long-lost daughter doesn't mean Rey can't be Leia and Han's daughter. It's quite a long read, but it's very entertaining and thought-provoking. Let me know what you guys think. Greets, Ilya. Okay.
Mm.
Thanks for that, Ilya.
I've got an idea about this. I kind of agree. Well, I was thinking about this a couple of weeks ago when I was watching Star Wars, actually, episode 7. Okay. And I just, you know, sometimes you're consciously aware of something that happens in a film.
Yep.
It's not until you cogitate, digest and deliberate on it that you think, oh, God, that makes sense. It now makes sense. When she cuddled Rey, Leia cuddled Rey, at the end, I had thought all the time, but not consciously, that didn't really fit.
Yeah.
And it was a little bit out of place, not only because she totally gazumped Chewie, but because she doesn't, well, at that point in our understanding of the story, she didn't know Rey that well.
Yeah.
So why give her a good long cuddle? And so I thought maybe she's a daughter, and that crossed my mind. But then I, not knowing all the lore behind it, I just sort of gave up on the idea. But now I think that a lot of Leia's scenes prior to them leaving, or her, you know, her getting caught, might have contained scenes that showed or you know, evidence of that relationship.
Yeah, build that relationship,
And that, and they were cut possibly because maybe Leia didn't pull it off, maybe Carrie Fisher didn't pull it off or something.
I think there were some structural changes. We know that there were some structural changes. And one of those structural changes was a very key moment between Leia and Maz, which involved the lightsaber.
Yes.
And the lightsaber then needed to be passed to Rey. So that would have been Leia passing the saber to Rey. So what we're seeing with that awkward hug, and I agree completely that that was awkward, and it's part of the argument that's made in this writer's article on Movie Pilot, mm-hmm. is that that connection, that embrace between Leia and Rey at the end seemed out of place.
Yeah.
And it does, and that's because it's all been left adrift a little bit,
mm-hmm.
purely because they've had to restructure the film around the changes that were made when Harrison Ford was injured. Now that time to tinker with the script, and they rebuilt things. So a big part of this article was basically taking as much evidence as the writer could get their hands on, and using it to prop up the argument. That sounds adversarial. I don't mean it that way. They were using it to support...
bolster.
Yeah. It bolstered a theory that they already had, which was that she was a Solo. And there are some elements in there. Like there's a look that Han gives Rey when they arrive at Takodana in the Falcon. Yes. He gives her this look like his heart breaks for her, you know? Yeah. Then there's the job offer on the Falcon. Then there's that connection between Leia and Rey, even though they've never met.
Yep.
And it does seem like there's something missing.
Yeah.
But as Ilya pointed out in the email, this article predates Bloodline.
Yes.
And if you can see in the notes I put there, that Bloodline does change some of the writer's points. The story focusing on Leia would provide an opportunity to acknowledge a trauma like losing a child, as in Rey, prior to losing Kylo. There's no indication in Bloodline that Han and Leia have had trauma in their past. And the trauma of losing Kylo is in the future. So if there was going to be something central to Han and Leia's life, it would have been having lost Rey.
Yeah.
But at that point, everyone seemed happy. As far as they know, Ben's happily training with Luke.
Yep.
Han is doing his racing thing, and Leia is trying to build a political career. At no point is the loss of another child central to anybody's dynamic in that book.
Not at all. And it would have had to have happened earlier in order for her to be the age she's at in Force Awakens. It would have had to happen before that point.
Yes, by about 10 years.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I don't think it's... I didn't think so anyway, and I don't think that... I think the Bloodline just makes that more obvious.
Yes. Yeah, and there's another point that was made in the book that was that the writer kept making reference to Kylo's fall having taken place as a young man because he was being perverted by the memory of Vader. He didn't know about Vader until he was in his mid-20s.
Yeah, we learn this from Bloodline, don't we?
At the point of Bloodline, he didn't even know Vader was part of his life.
Yeah, exactly. My thing on it is the hug thing, I take their point, but I agree with you, Mark. I think it's because of the way the script was reorganized and rewritten and certain bits were excised. The thing that doesn't... There'd have to be some sort of attempt to seed that somewhere. So there are looks that are exchanged by Han towards Rey, but that could easily be either he sees certain character elements in her that were maybe part of his life when he was younger.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because maybe he's... we don't really know much about his childhood, do we? We're obviously going to learn that, hopefully, in the new movie.
Absolutely.
But there's quite a possibility that he's just like, oh, I remember that, having to deal with that sort of thing when I was a kid.
Mm.
Or, you know, he sort of understands that. Or maybe it's just... I can't remember what the line of dialogue is that she says before that point. Maybe it makes him think of Ben.
Yeah, she says, I didn't realize there was so much green in the universe.
That's right. Yes.
No, but here's a thing, right? It's very easy now for everyone to be running around, and we do it. This is our stock in trade, running around, picking over the little bits of information that we've got and trying to force it in together so it becomes a tangible thing. It doesn't matter who Rey is, right? No. If she's a Solo, there's a lot of backstory to build in there. If she's a Skywalker, there's a lot of backstory to build in there. If she's nobody and come out of nowhere, then she represents something very important to both Han and Leia.
Yeah.
Han and Leia went to war and sacrificed the best years of their life to bring the Empire down, to restore freedom to the galaxy, but still you've got an impoverished, disenfranchised, lonely, isolated young woman coming from the backwaters that they've tried to liberate. These looks and the compassion that she's receiving from these characters are exactly that. She was the thing that they spilled blood trying to rectify, and it hasn't worked. The Empire falls and the First Order rises from its ashes, and there are still indentured servants in the galaxy. No matter how hard they fight, it's never going to be over. There's always going to be kids out there who've grown up the same way as Luke with no hope. That's what they're seeing. That Luke from Han Solo is that. Christ, what, it doesn't matter what we do, there's always still going to be one.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's just compassion and sympathy. It doesn't mean he's a dad.
Yeah, could well be.
She doesn't need to have parents in this story.
Yeah.
Maz told her the future is with Luke. The past is gone. There's nothing there for you. You need to move forward. She's on Anakin's path now. She's doing the Anakin Skywalker path.
Mm-hmm.
And he came from nothing and had nothing. Yeah. And that's what she is. And this is the same cycle they're seeing over and over again. So she receives compassion from these characters, and I don't know why we're acting surprised at that. It doesn't mean there's a familial connection. It just means these people care deeply about the fact that they haven't been able to put a cap on all of that horrible stuff.
Yeah.
It's just there.
I hadn't thought about it from that point of view, where they're sort of seeing it as a, you know, as much as they did to rid the galaxy of tyranny, they still feel like they failed.
They're still suffering, yeah.
Yeah. Because people are still... Remember we were talking about Brian Quinn, the guy who writes for StarWars.com occasionally, one of the Impractical Jokers, and he was saying that what he disliked about The Force Awakens was that he realised that loads of his favourite characters who ended on a high note have been miserable for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And I can see where he's coming from. I don't know if I necessarily think it ruins the movie, but... I don't think it ruins the old movies like he seems to think, but...
No, it doesn't. It doesn't retroactively change anything that goes on there. It just means that there's always going to be darkness, and it's always going to be a struggle, and one person can't come along and just solve it. You'll have...
No, exactly.
Every generation has a new hope, and she's this new generation's
hope. Yeah.
And it's now whether or not she can be shepherded through... the trial she needs to face to come out the other side better than Anakin and better than Luke. But her roots, her origins are the same.
Yeah, totally.
So, Ilya, thank you for sending me that article. Yes. But if you see the little note I put at the bottom there, if listeners keep sending me 20,000-word articles, I'm never going to get anything else done. Because they are really deep, these things, and they're thought-provoking. But sometimes I think, trying to prop up your position by sculpting the evidence you unearth around it, when Occam's razor suggests there's a very simple answer to these things, and trying to shape it into something else. Those characters are just compassionate for Rey because she's come from nothing, and they fought very hard to prevent that from happening to people.
Yes, and yet it still endures.
Indeed.
Yeah.
But Ilya, thank you very much for that.
Yes, thank you very much. I had a read of the article too. Mm. It is very well put together. You know, it's very well composed. I just don't necessarily agree with it all.
No.
So it's very well done.
Yeah, there's a lot of these things are. We discussed one last week, didn't we? That was the Raylo one that was very well written and extremely intelligent. But
for me, assuming that the theory is that Rey was a child when she was taken away. Otherwise, surely Han would have... You'd have seen a semblance of recognition when he found her on the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
I mean, that for me is the first. There was no evidence whatsoever, not even sort of the slightest nuance of evidence that they knew each other.
No, no, not at all.
So for me, that's kind of case closed, you know, that...
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd be surprised how many people can overlook that stuff, Steve.
Well, some people are theorizing that they believed they had a daughter and they believed her to be dead. So they wouldn't have thought of her in terms of, oh, you know who she looks like? She looks like what our daughter would be like if she grew up alive.
Mm. But, you know, if they introduce that now, and it's clear from the events of Bloodline that that's not going to be introduced, because remember, Rian Johnson had an input on some important elements of Bloodline. Not much, but a few elements that would work to set up episode 8 story, he mm-hmm. would have laid in some of those elements if that's where they were going to go. There is no sign of any trauma like that in Han and Leia's no. past. In when you look at it simply as The Force Awakens, yes, there is, because the relationship is in tatters and there's this big shadow hanging over them. But that yes. shadow is Kylo-shaped, not yes. Rey-shaped. Six exactly. years before in Bloodline, there was no sign of any trauma in their life from the loss of a child. Then if mm. they try to introduce that in a subsequent film, it's going to smack of a retcon and they won't get away mm. with it.
No, indeed.
Because we'll all be levelling accusations that they couldn't plan a story out properly. They couldn't block it out and let us see it gradually come about.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to be really careful. But it just doesn't work. This doesn't add up to me. As much as the Skywalker thing doesn't add up to me, I think she is yeah. something else, and she's better served being something else entirely.
Mm.
Okay, let's move into Connor's Corner.
All right, so Connor's Corner featuring Leo. Good day, gents. Good day.
Good day.
This week's topic is in response to your Twitter poll, does Ray know Luke is Vader's son? So here goes, because this could be a long one. Pause for Steve's comment if he's got himself dressed this week. Have you got himself dressed?
I am dressed, actually. That is amazing. I've just realised. Right, I'm taking my clothes off.
Okay. Thanks, I'll Connor. Thanks for reminding him. Just what we need.
You get your whatever you do what you got to do, and I'll read. Okay. Anyway, three men go into a throne room. Sounds like the start of a joke, I know. one comes out, and no one knows what happens in there. That is a weird joke. I don't really see the punchline, but anyway, moving on. It appears that the people of the Star Wars universe are very
one
much...
One comes out, I think comes out is the...
is the after dark side joke.
Yes.
Yeah. It appears that the people of the Star Wars universe are very much under the impression that Lord Vader was this badass, that he and Palpatine died when the rebels blew up the Death Star. So the First Order and all the sympathetic Empire supporters have been spun this PR that Luke killed the Emperor and Vader, and that Luke is this villain that must be caught and punished for his crimes against the Empire, when really Snoke wants him caught or dead for his own reasons. The First Order are using the image of Vader and Palpatine as martyrs, classic war propaganda. So he, Luke, cannot be allowed to get the truth out that Vader died for his own son, sacrificing himself and destroying the Emperor and his empire. After all, the last thing they, the First Order, want is the people to know that the right hand of the Emperor was the reason for his death. So I think we'll see Rey finding out about the Luke-Vader connection from Kylo at first and not believing him, and then Rey being told by Luke that Vader redeemed himself in the end and was killed by the Emperor in the process of redeeming himself. This is hard to accept for Rey after all she's heard about this Dark Lord of the Sith from Kylo and how strong the dark side was in him. Luke is lying to her. He killed his own father. He's the real dark side. Don't be fooled by his lies. So that's a quote. So basically, I'm guessing that's kind of speculative dialogue.
Indeed.
Okay. If someone can be bad and can turn to good, Vader, we could see someone good turning to bad, Rey, and siding with Snoke or Kylo to, dare I say it, take down Luke. I know it's a stretch, but is Rey strong enough to resist the dark side and their lies? This is going on the assumption that Snoke and Kylo aren't Sith, but something else. A more ancient order of Force users, perhaps. I know she stopped Kylo reading her mind, but he's still in training, and it will take Snoke to break her, and he will. I want to see a real fall to the dark side, not like Episode 3, a long, slow burn, and watch the people around her fall as she lays waste to them. We all want a darker tone to this next film. Can't wait to hear your thoughts on this. Loving the show, and it's great to hear listener comm sections getting longer every week. This essay isn't making it any shorter, I know. It shows that people are really liking the show. It gets 6 stars from me and Leo, of course. Yes, hear that, Steve? They're backpedaling after last week when they acknowledged
yes.
This is
downstreet.
Reparations. thank you for all your hard work. Very keen to stress not just some of it. Connor and Leo, VIPs, may the Force be with you. Thanks for that, guys. That's an awesome email.
Yeah, awesome. Very, very heavy. So I've done a bit of a breakdown as well.
All right, so you want me to read the breakdown questions then?
Take it apart.
I'm guessing you've put there's a little direction in brackets here.
I'm guessing
that's because you're requesting a
stage direction, of course.
All right, of course. So question one, how are Palpatine, Hoa, and Vader perceived by the First Orders? Are they perceived as martyrs, failures, or a cautionary tale?
Should we do with that one first?
Yeah, let's do it. Fire away, Steve.
I didn't have an answer. I was just saying, let's deal with that.
Sorry, mate. I thought you were being all proactive.
I guess I kind of do. Let me just get it right. So one of you jump in. I'm going to try and vocalise it.
All right. Well, I would say that my point of view would be that they were probably being held up as a cautionary tale at this point.
Okay.
Not just by the regular members of the First Order, like your lieutenants and your captains and admirals and things, but mainly by Snoke. I would think that he would hold the Sith up, certainly to Kylo, as the way things... way things are done poorly.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because the novelization of The Force Awakens has Snoke deliver the line that he was old enough to see the Empire rise and fall. So he's obviously studied it.
Yeah.
Because he knows it enough to talk about it. So he's definitely using it as some sort of example. Like you say, maybe more of a how not to do it or what to avoid.
Yeah, you know, because next time. Also in the novelization, he cautions Kylo, he cautions Ben about compassion, doesn't he? And Vader's compassion was his undoing.
Yeah. The other one to keep in mind is now it's been a little while since I read Bloodline, Mark. Which one is Castafo? Is he a centrist or a populist?
He is that's a good question. I think he's a populist, right?
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
So centrist was let me think.
Like centralized government, and populists are it's basically a bit like Brexit, isn't it? That Castafo he's on the side that they want to split up and they want to have little.
He's a centrist.
Is he? Okay.
Yeah, I've just had a look on Wikipedia and Wikipedia has him listed as a centrist. So centrists are the ones who he in particular admires certain elements of the Empire.
Yes.
And it makes me wonder if the First Order is going to be in the interim between Bloodline and Force Awakens, which is we reckon about 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
Do you think they'll be recruiting people from the centrists?
Well, I think it's pretty clear from the use of the Imaxine warriors that the First Order, their First Order of business, pun intended, is to absorb little isolated pockets of militia, and it's like they're building a little guerrilla army. Before they get centralized and they have the fleets built up and they have enough backing to get Starkiller built and things like that. So yeah. I think they kind of hint at, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but that's the way I read it, that the First Order was soaking up these little pockets of militia. So you'd have these little bands of little rogue armies going around doing their thing. Until they can pick up enough momentum to sort of creep out and over. Because I imagine that off in the wings somewhere, they're building the starships and they're building the stormtrooper armies and things.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Steve, did you form a thought on it?
Well, only in the relation to, in my opinion, the whole of the dark sides, the way they get people to do things is through manipulation and lies.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that they will have spun whatever tale was necessary to get Kylo believing that Vader was totally dark and never came clean, never went to the other side and was never good. And
and
whatever needed to be done for him to believe that so that Snoke can manipulate him and get him to do his bidding would be done.
Yeah.
And that's gone with Palpatine and... and Vader and Anakin, it's always been that way, isn't it?
Yeah. I think that's fair to say. I think there's definitely going to have been some spin at work to frame the rebels as, like I said, you know, to frame them as terrorists.
Yeah.
In terms of how they're seen by the Imperial there are Imperial sympathizers within the galaxy. We know this,
which we've seen
because. Well, I mean, also, you know, we see this in our world as well. Some people like different ways of governance. It's not just as black and white as, you know, Empire bad, rebels good for some people. And we've been led to believe that it might be kind of morally grey in Rogue One as well. So, you know, they're definitely trying to emphasize that side of things, I guess. So...
I've got a tangent.
Okay. Of course.
Do you think... I've always had a bit of a personal beef
Okay.
With the Starkiller base. It's just ridiculous. It's bigger than the other two. Oh, okay,
so it's a Star Wars
two.
Tangent, at least. That's better than nothing.
Oh, no, it is a Star Wars tangent. Oh, okay, no, we're on track. We're all right.
That's fine.
Starkiller base is too big. It would take the entire population of the Earth 10,000 years to build something like that.
Okay.
And do you think that base was under construction while either of the first two Death Stars were?
No, it's probably...
Maybe about 10 years, maybe.
It's not the whole. They didn't build the whole thing, did they?
No,
well, it's hollowed out.
It's a planet. Yeah.
So that makes it even harder. You've got to hollow something out.
I don't think they have to hollow it out. I think they just sort of drill a big hole and slide something in.
What?
Pre-dark side.
Yes.
So you can tell which elements of this episode I'm going to be cutting out and dropping somewhere else.
You've got to have a lot of stuff down there, Mark, in that hole, in said hole, in order to not only capture but hold and retain the entire energy from the sun.
Mm.
It ain't just a big hole, is it? It's got something in it.
What did they call it, some sort of oscillator or something, wasn't it?
A thermal oscillator, yeah.
Yeah. But that must have been around for long. 10 years, you couldn't do that, all that work. They haven't got that many people, have they?
Mm.
Maybe it was what the Empire were going to use next.
Maybe. Maybe it was a plan. Maybe it's something they had plans mapped out for. Plus, we forget
things. I wonder if we're going to see plans for it in episode
9.
3. Well, was it 3?
Oh, in Rogue One, you mean?
Rogue One.
Yes. I wonder if you, like you do in episode 2, you see... Oh, God, that's an awful film. You see the little plan of the Death Star.
Yeah. The Geonosians.
Maybe.
The Geonosians.
Might see that. That's a really good... That's a great thought, Steve. What if we do, when they're taking the plans, what if we do see a template for Starkiller?
Yeah.
And like a little blip. That's great, Steve. If you could be bothered to write for the site, that would be a great Star Wars Insights. I might pass that off as my own.
Yeah, you can't prove it.
The only people who are ever going to know are the Talk Star Wars listeners, and they're not going to care because they like
don't care. They like Mark more than me. All I've got is frogs.
They like Mark more than all of us, Steve. It's just one of those things we've had to make peace with.
I could cut this whole scene out, have both of you killed, and pass it off as my own.
Or if you write it up by the time After Dark Side comes out, you can just cut this in, and then nobody will ever know until it's too late.
Yeah, and then I'll have one over on everybody.
Job solved.
Right.
Job done.
Let's get on to breakdown point two.
Okay, cool. So point two, will Rey be seduced by Snoke or Kylo and their filthy lies?
Let me take point on this one, and I'll be brief. Okay. I don't necessarily think that she will be seduced by either of them, but I think in her attempt to overthrow either or both of them, she will go to the dark side the way Luke did and potentially not come back.
Okay. I can go with that. I mean, my thing on it was that even if she didn't turn to the dark side, the theme of will she, won't she will be a massive piece of the remaining films in the trilogy.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's inevitable.
Yes. Yeah. Unavoidable.
I'm wondering whether she'll supplant Snoke altogether.
Ooh.
Yeah, well, that's what I've said as well, isn't it? That come episode 10, she might be the big bad in the next trilogy.
Yeah, she could well be.
And they might have some time away from it to let the actors go off and do their own thing, and then they'll come back a little bit older and they'll do it again.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Well, we got through that point quick, didn't we?
Yeah. So we think.
So we are looking at. Yeah, we did do it.
Kind of.
But do you think, Mark, and you, Rob,
do
you think that they're already planning episode 10 now? They have that story driven and written out?
Yeah, you don't kill the golden goose, do you?
I think they would at very least have had some kind of story brainstorming. Like, I mean, I would liken it to break it into a software example. You can have an alpha version, which is kind of early days, certain bits are in and it's usable. You can have a beta version, which is pretty much what you're going to go with, but you know it might not be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the gold version. So I could imagine the episode 8 script would be gold by now, because they're probably going to, subject to some revisions as they go along.
Yeah. Did you say 8?
Yeah. I would say so.
So that's your gold,
there'll be revisions.
I reckon that's probably a master version, less some tweaks as they go along, which you would get in software as well. You'd get them in kind of patches and stuff. And I reckon episode 9 is probably in kind of alpha, beta.
Yeah.
Kind of where it's been the bulk of the story, the sort of the certain action beats have been fleshed out. And I would imagine they've probably started talking about what's next.
Yeah.
In terms of what's it going to touch on? Who's it going to tell? Whose story is it going to tell? That sort Definitely. Of thing.
Yeah, Definitely. And they're not just going to stick with a trilogy. They're not saying, no. right, three, that's
no.
it, done.
No, 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 no. no.
I think
no.
story arcs could be trilogies. Yeah. And then yes. kind of, you know, you... I'll liken it to a different example. So you guys ever watched any professional wrestling?
No.
But you know of it, right?
I know that there is a thing.
Know the basics.
So, I know I used to like the animal guy. What's his name? Who died? Bless God rest his soul. And Rowdy Roddy Piper. Didn't he die as well?
Yeah, he did as well, yeah.
And I loved him in They Live. That's right. About my limit of...
That's fine. Life. That's more than some people have got, Steve. Don't worry about it. So the only thing I'm going to say is a very basic example. They refer to WrestleMania, which is their big banner show, as the one which wraps up the storylines they were working with before and kicks off the new ones. So they've got events that go on during the show that set up what's happening for the next 4 to 6 months. And they'll wrap up the stuff that was running for the previous 4 to 6 or up to a year sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, so they'll kind of, they'll resolve the storylines that have been running, if you know, semi-definitively. And by doing so, they will kick off some new events by, you know, having somebody run in who you didn't expect and all sorts of crazy crap like that. So, you know, I reckon they'll probably have episode 9, 12, 15, whatever, will be those, you know, they'll be the kind of the banner events, the big end of story ones that sort of resolve the old arcs and seed the new ones.
But unlike what we've experienced now, where Jedi ended and that was it, they will be able to leave things up in the air. So if they wrap up episode 9 with Rey on the dark side...
Yeah, and on the Snoke's throne or something.
Yeah, that's not necessarily what I want to see happen. But, no. you know, if that's where we leave Rey, and by the time episode 9 wraps up, we've got Poe and Finn in senior roles, they could have a plan for 10 that would involve a new generation of characters being brought in to do the same thing we've just seen. But they can set it all up at the end of this trilogy, and then in a few years, come back and start up the next. And then by the time you get to the end of that trilogy, they can do the same thing. They won't be able to put the hero through the same Anakin's path every time, because that's going to get real old real quick, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
But it might be something that they could apply. There's probably a whiteboard in Lucasfilm somewhere.
Yeah.
With, like you say,
keep in mind that obviously there are some people who aren't even particularly keen on the fact that episode 7 has retrodden episode 4.
Yeah.
To the degree that it has. So
yeah. No one,
you know, doing
no one
it over
that.
And over again, that's not happening.
No.
No way.
No, you're right. Okay, there's my dog clip clopping through. We celebrated doing point number 2 prematurely, didn't we? Because then we went off.
We did, because then we went on a little bit more. So point number 3.
Yes.
Will Luke lose Rey to the dark side the way Obi-Wan lost Anakin?
Possibly. There's my answer. Done.
Boom. I'm gonna say no, but it's gonna be something that's gonna weigh on his mind.
Mm.
He'll have been spending a lot of time talking to Obi-Wan.
Yeah,
and Obi-Wan's probably been like, "Well, I really lashed up there, Luke.
I dropped the ball completely.
I dropped the ball, and I did myself a mischief and no mistake. And we all China.
let's build a bridge.
Yeah, exactly.
I think looking at this example, Will he lose Rey the way Obi-Wan lost Anakin? It could be the way Obi-Wan almost lost Luke. Rather than envy, jealousy, and his overall possessive nature driving Anakin to the dark side.
Yeah.
With Luke, what took him to the dark side was almost desperation, really, wasn't it?
And revenge.
And revenge. Very un-Jedi-like, but I wonder if it'll be the desperation that pulls Rey towards the dark side if she goes there, and then she'll find it difficult to break out of its clutches. But
that's a really good thing you said then, Mark. I've never really thought of that before. I don't think there's ever a point where Luke, you even see temptation from a negative perspective, where he's acting bad or in a bad way. You never see that. The only time he's ever considering coming to the dark side is to protect his friends who are attacking the Super Death Star,
yeah.
or
yeah.
for what other reason, but they're all good intentions, aren't they?
And it's all there. It's all writ large on screen. They tell you in dialogue as well. They spell it out for you in bright yellow letters floating up through the stars. Yoda says the Jedi uses the Force for knowledge of defense, never attack. And what's Luke do?
Yeah.
Go straight to Bespin. The first thing he does is pull his lightsaber on Vader. He's attacking him. So, and he's doing it out of desperation. You're right. If he was motivated by the same things that were motivating Anakin, then when Vader says to him, and bear in mind that that is Anakin, when he says, join me and we'll rule the galaxy as father and son, Luke would have said, go on then, let's do this. If he was motivated by the same things, because Anakin thought of his path to the dark side as being the means to an end. I'll get myself into a position of power and I'll use it to do good things. Yeah. I'll make things the way I want them to be. And Luke's never like that. It's just, he wants to save his friends. He wants to save his sister. He wants to salvage what's left of his father's soul.
Yeah.
He's singularly driven by altruistic objectives. He's never looking out for himself, but it still takes him to the dark side.
Yeah, because he's acting out of the interests of something other than the pure Force, I guess.
Which makes
kind of going off reservation with the dogma.
Yeah, it makes you wonder whether there isn't like the negative side or the addiction to the dark side in itself, and not just a willingness to do good through the dark side like Luke had. But if it skips every other generation, then perhaps if Rey is Luke's daughter, then perhaps that might be another reason why she has it, because her granddad was that way inclined.
Yeah.
But the other way of looking at it is, without the familial ties, Anakin's a child of the Force. If she is also a child of the Force, then it puts Luke as the buffer between the two. And I've been thinking about working up a Star Wars Insights about this and what Luke's service is to the story. It seems like he's there to assist the chosen one in achieving their goal. So Vader would never have gotten where he needed to be without Luke there to guide him.
Yeah.
And now it seems like on the other side of Luke is Rey. She needs to get to a point where she can bring balance to the Force, if that is truly her objective. At the moment, I'm only supposing that that's the case, because we don't know enough yet. Luke's going to be there now to guide her there. So is Luke's goal, his destiny, is to purely help the Chosen One achieve their goal? Even though the Chosen One is, you know, like Steve said, might be subject to certain corrupt elements in their personality that will lead them off.
Temptations.
Thank you, Steve, yeah. Very interesting. It's all very interesting, but it can go anywhere at the moment, can't it? So
that's it. I like the way you broke down number four.
What are Snoke and Kylo? Yeah.
What are Snoke and Kylo?
What are
they? That's. I understand what you're driving at. So yeah, the question is for the listeners. Question four: what are Snoke and Kylo? I'm guessing the question is more, are they Sith, and if not, what are they instead?
Exactly, because Connor mentioned that he thought they might be something more ancient. I've covered this before.
I was going to say, I don't see why they couldn't be Sith. I think we've discussed this before, where Vader's got his Inquisitors, but he's still the apprentice to the Sith Lord.
Yeah.
But I don't see why they couldn't be, because the Knights of Ren could be similar. And we also don't know for sure that the Knights of Ren are all Force users.
No.
They could all just be mercs. And
at this point, there's no evidence that they are, is there?
They could just be lost souls, all kind of united by a common purpose of chaos. And
I mean, it is only a name, isn't it, Sith? I mean, people have called a deity here for want of a better word. Like, say, if you take our main god guy, I mean, it's called a thousand different names, isn't he?
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
Across the planet. So it's just a name. I mean, they are always the same thing, a dark side to the light.
Yeah, it's almost like, it could be like the equivalent of Mormons in the same kind of way. They'd just be a sect of, because the Force is kind of almost a religious thing, even though the prequels have gone towards scientificating it, making it more scientific. Yeah, making it more scientific. They've been trying to make it more scientific, but you know, it's still followed by some as if it's a religion.
Mm.
So there could just be a sect of religion that differs ideologically.
What, the Knights of Ren you're referring to, yeah?
I'm talking about the Sith.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah.
Specifically, but also, you know, the Knights of Ren within that could also be a similar thing where it's, you know, they're more, I'm trying to think of an analogy that works in a religious sense, but I don't know if it's
Well, they seem to me to be like samurai.
Okay.
Like, and yeah, Snoke's like their emperor, if you like.
Yeah.
With I'm not drawing connections between him and our emperor, Palpacino.
No.
But
Hua.
He's like an emperor that sends out his samurai to do his bidding. Yeah. They're more than minions, but they're out there purely. They're the right hand of the emperor doing his deeds, or his misdeeds, as the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
But I personally really like the idea that they're not Sith, and it seems to me that if they were Sith, they would carry within the story more signifiers. Like Snoke would be hooded if he were if they were setting him up as a Sith Lord. I just think how powerful the reveal would be when that hood came down and you saw that scarred visage. I suspect that he came before the Sith, or at least before this iteration of the Sith, with Plagueis being the first Sith Lord since Snoke. And he tried to, you know, I've mentioned this before, he tried to kill Snoke and failed, but didn't realise he failed. And then he sets up the new order of the Sith. And it's the rule of two that meant they cannibalised themselves. And that I think Snoke would be smart enough to think, I'm not going to make that mistake again. I'll have more than one warrior, but I'll keep them all at arm's length. So I won't ever give anyone enough power to rise up against me. As soon as there's any sign of that, they're gone.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is where I was saying earlier about seeing the Sith as a cautionary tale. That's how to fail. Snoke's got designs on how to succeed.
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, my one would be he might be more like, we talked about Legends before and how they've got Darth Krayt, who takes the rule of two and just goes, nah, it's no good, it doesn't work, and you know, you don't have enough people to do what you want to do. So he splits it out and says, no, everybody's going to be, you know, we've got the entire Sith is me, and then everybody else has just got power. And there's no, you know, there's no hierarchy as such, apart from him at the top.
Yeah.
So maybe Snoke's trying to do, maybe they're trying to do something more like that with Snoke.
Sounds very much like that to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds very much like that.
I mean, ultimately, you know, like I said, he can be something different. He can be a new type of Force user. He can be, he can be some new kind of dark side user. It can be something we've heard of before, maybe something that's been touched on in Legends they can bring back, or they can bring in elements of it like they've done in the past with Bits and Bobs. So there's a wealth of options in terms of how they present it.
Yeah. I do think there's something quite powerful about him being the, you know, we've heard our big bad refer to, like, as in Palpatine, refer to a bigger bad, as in Plagueis, and this is great if there's an even bigger bad that predated that and he's still alive. That would be
that'd be pretty cool
stuff. So,
yeah.
Okay, Connor, got your money's worth out of you this week, didn't we?
Oh, yes, we did.
Thank you very much for that. Really, really thought-provoking.
Thank
right,
you, Connor and Theo.
Let's jump into Twitter poll results. And then
easy for you to say.
Yeah, isn't it just? And then we'll put out the new Twitter poll, and then we can get to some Star Wars news and wrap this thing up because we're going a little long.
Okay.
So last week I asked the question, would you be okay with a Rey Kylo Ren romantic storyline? We had three options. Yes, I really want this. Hell no, not in my Star Wars, and I do not care. Now, this, within the first hour of this going up, we got more response, or we got about as much response as we'd had the whole week before. Because this really did rub people up the wrong way. So the results are now in. 56 voters.
Wow.
59% said no, not in my Star Wars.
Okay.
23% didn't care, and 18% want, yes, I want this. So 18% of the people involved were distinctly misguided. Pretty potent, but we had some great comments as well, and some quotes on retweets. So at BatFan186 said, at Talk Star Wars, at SithFans1, I guess it depends on if they're related. Pretty huge. Pretty huge, and totally reframes the question.
Awesome. Did SithFans1 reply to it already by that point? Because usually that's how it works. People just sort of get swept into these things.
No, I don't think there was a response from at SithFans. Let me just check all the...
They find their way into...
At SithFans1 rose above it and didn't get caught up in it. But I suspect if you go from the next, go for the next comment from @_host2000, at TalkStars, at SithFans1, F anyone who wants them to have a ship, as in relationship, no, get out. I think I mentioned that on the After Dark Side last week because I read that and it really cracked me up. No, people are not. Definitely not feeling it. And Christopher White, this is his fourth mention on this episode. So perhaps we should call this episode Christopher White.
Maybe we should charge.
At Evil Summer on Twitter sent me a GIF, which is just Steve Carell saying, "No, please God, no," which is absolutely super. He's king of the GIFs, Christopher. Getting some great stuff from him on Twitter. It's brilliant. So it was great. So thanks to everyone that took part in... Is that curtains again?
Yes.
Curtains.
Together.
Curtains for you.
Curtains.
Thanks to everyone that took part in that Twitter poll. Absolutely superb.
Yes, really cool.
So here goes next week. So I'm publishing it now.
All right.
Right, that's now gone live. Would you like to see Hayden Christensen return to Star Wars? This is based on something that's coming up in the news. Yes, I'd like to see him as a Force ghost. Or yes, I'd like to see him in a Clone Wars film, or no way.
Okay.
Have your say. It's pinned to our profile right now.
Yep.
Do you want Hayden Christensen to return to Star Wars?
I'm going
to
cast my vote right now.
Yeah.
I think
he was awesome in the first three. It's the first three that let him down.
I think the problems with the movie are not problems he can solve.
No.
Their dialogue, their over-reliance on CG, and I doubt he had that much input, to be honest.
No. I think when you think of all the set pieces that he did, actually they're really good. I love him. I loved him in Jumper. I thought that was a great movie.
Yeah, but I still haven't seen that. I should.
It's a shame because...
It seems up my street in terms of kind of setting and plot stuff.
It is a good movie. His whole career has unfortunately been typecast by the first three Star Wars films.
It has been tarnished, definitely been tarnished by it. Okay.
He was quite good. But yes, I know what I would say. Yes, I would like to see him if it was his first thing he ever did to do with Star Wars, not Return.
Okay.
You can't make up a fourth answer, Steve. You can have him as a Force ghost, or you can have him in a Clone Wars film, or you can not have him.
Especially as it's been published. So it's not like we can go back in and edit it.
Then it's no way from me.
No. Okay.
Okay, fair enough. I put my vote in already, Mark.
Thank you, mate. I'm waiting for that to update and see that come through. Cool. It won't be long. Okay. Cool. Right. Let's get on to some Star Wars news and we'll wrap this up. We've only got a few points. We'll turn this around pretty quickly. So Star Wars Celebration, we already know we're getting a whole wealth of talent at Star Wars Celebration. Carrie's going to be there. Mark's going to be there.
Stephen's going to be there.
Stephen's going to be there. He'll be sitting down a lot because his legs are wonky. Mark's going to be there getting exasperated with how much Steve needs to sit down all the time.
Yeah, I've been there, mate.
Yeah. Anthony Daniels is also going to be there. So the gold lame jacket will be out. Oh, yeah, he's got a C-3PO in him as well. That's good.
Oh, heavens.
Oh. Prepare for a bunch of After Dark, really filthy C-3PO After Dark Side intros.
Oh my God, yes.
Wouldn't that be great if he was just like really belligerent? So we're going to see Anthony Daniels. I'm very much looking forward to this whole thing, and it's not that
I've actually
far
been
away.
In the room with him.
That's yeah?
Exciting. Yeah, I went to, this is a few years ago now, I went to the multimedia screening of episode 1 in 3D.
Okay.
When they were doing the 3D, I think they were originally planning to run all three sequels in 3D and only did episode one.
That's right.
Because it didn't work, did it? Yeah, it didn't really make as much as they were hoping it made. I think it made sort of, you know, 30 million or something. It wasn't really anywhere near what they were hoping for.
No.
But I went to see the FDA multimedia screening, and Anthony Daniels introduced it. So that was quite exciting.
I think, in fact, they only completed one and two, and two's played at a con somewhere, never been seen outside of that. I don't think three was even done. I'm not sure.
Oh, here we go. As of June 2014, the re-release in 3D earned $102 million worldwide. So that's not really a lot.
Yeah, it's better than a poke in the eye with a sharp stick, but it's not.
It's not big money, is it? By that point, it contributed towards making it $1 billion worldwide gross. That was the first Star Wars film to do that, episode one, because of that re-release in 3D.
Mm. Wow.
What record, eh?
Okay, but look, maybe he'll be introducing something exciting like that at Celebration. I know he's doing doing a one-man show.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting, stories from the set. And I think he and Warwick are doing something together on stage as well. So there'll be some banter backwards and forwards, some stories, behind the scenes stuff.
They're very funny guys.
Yeah, Warwick is. I really think he's brilliant.
Yes, he's very good.
Okay, let's jump on to the Force Awakens news. There's still a little bit trickling out of this, and this is a bit tenuous anyway, but this ties into the Twitter poll we just run. Mm-hmm. He was almost Anakin's ghost in the Force Awakens, but now Hayden Christensen says he's ready to return to Star Wars, and he would do so in a heartbeat. He said in this interview, I put a link to it there in Dark Side of the Force,
yeah,
if the phone rang, he would take it up. But he does seem to be a little bit beaten by all this whenever I see him talk. I think he's a bit gun-shy now.
Mm, I can understand it. I mean, Jake Lloyd was completely put off by the sort of the drumming he got for episode one. And actually, I don't know that he ever worked again.
No, I don't think he did. He's deeply troubled now.
Yeah.
Such a shame.
I think it really is. What's his name from Terminator 2? He didn't get a ribbing for it, but I think these young actors, when they are forced into this alien environment, they often go off the rails, don't they? What was his name now? Eddie Furlong.
He's turned up in a few bits, but he really hasn't reprised that kind of level of stardom,
awesome,
has he?
Wasn't he? He's amazing in Terminator 2.
He played a really good, like a little sort of mini mob boss in one of the CSIs. I think it was New York. He turned up in that for a few. He had a recurring spot in a few episodes of CSI as a sort of, I think, like a hard sort of tough criminal. And he was actually quite good. You know, he played somebody who was a bit unhinged. And, maybe he's been typecast, but who knows?
Yeah.
I was just looking at Jake Lloyd stuff. So he retired in 2001. After starring in episode one, obviously in 1999, and he cited bullying on the part of classmates and the stress of doing up to 60 interviews a day. It's more wonder he'd give. To be honest, I'd give it up if I was having to do that. That's mental.
That's not good.
He did He picked up a lot in voice acting in Star Wars video games for a few years. Turned up in a few of those as himself, as it were.
Oh, dear. Interesting.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I'd be quite happy to see Hayden Christensen come back, as long as the part, you know, in the same way as the Reylo relationship, if it makes sense, then I'm all right with it. It's, you know, with the thing about that puts me off a Reylo relationship is it doesn't seem like it could make sense because she wants to kill him.
Yeah, no, I'm
seems
with
like
you
have to go. They'd have to swing it massively in the other direction to be able to make it work as a romantic relationship without introducing anything creepy. And like we said last week's show, the way the world is now, you don't do that stuff in media without being prepared for a lot of crap to come your way. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, it would be mental.
In a way, to make Hayden's return, so as a Force ghost, to frame that so it makes sense, bearing in mind now we've seen Seven, we know she's had connection with key players in the Force, including Palpatine, because he can be heard in there. Specifically, Obi-Wan and Yoda. It would seem to me the best way to introduce Hayden would be to have her slowly learn how to connect with Anakin through the Force, and maybe that's a sign that she's starting to use darker and darker powers. So if you were going to start to seed her descent towards the dark side, she might become more and more capable of connecting with Anakin and learn more and more from Anakin.
Yeah.
As she gets darker. That might be a way to make sense of him being there, because it wouldn't make sense for him just to rock up now and go, all right, I'm Annie, how you doing? I've pod raced and stuff. Because she hadn't heard anything from him previously.
Yeah. Yeah. But as a quick aside, circling back to Hayden Christensen, so the poll's been up for about 5 minutes, and we've already had 5 votes, and there's already a massive swing in one direction. That'd be interesting to see. I won't go into depth on what that is. Obviously, we'll save it as a surprise.
Yeah, just seen
that. When the poll finishes running. But it's absolutely going steamrolling ahead one way.
Yeah, so people are on it, aren't they? Straight away. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah, see? It's appointment stuff. They know what we're doing.
Christopher
appointment
was listening, right.
Appointment engagements.
Right. Let's get to Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, because I'm watching this clock tick, and I know Steve wants to get this done early tonight.
That's cool.
Mads Mikkelsen confirms reshoots on Rogue One and says they were always planned and they were to apply the final polish. I'll tie this in.
There we go, internet. Shut it all down.
Yeah.
Let the clickbait drop. It is fine. Everything is fine.
Everything's
we're
good.
All fine here now. How are you?
Oh, my.
I mean, it is a load of rubbish, isn't it? Of course, they do reshoots in every film.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a symptom of the modern world, right? And I've noticed this in all kinds of media. The people writing this stuff think they know how all of it works, because they've probably heard one person who worked on one bit of a project, tell them how that bit works. And they go, oh, that must be the only bit then. Because my friend Dave or whatever worked on a film. So he knows. So what he says about how a film works is the only thing there is to know. And there's more to it than these things. A lot of people get brought in to projects halfway through and thus only have the second half to work from, or they work for the first half and then go off and do something else and start working on the next thing.
Yeah.
So they're not privy to the second half. These things are always more complicated than they appear. It's just the reality of life. If it was that easy, everybody could do every job in this realm, and they can't. Because there are people who get paid a lot of money to do this stuff because they're good at it and they're skilled and they're experienced and they know how these things tick. So, you know, I'm not suggesting we know any better than I certainly don't know better than the people who make these films. But I'm saying that the people writing this stuff, this clickbait stuff, they like to flurry up some doomsday because it makes for a more interesting reading.
Yeah.
And it drums up more discussion, more engagement. But the reality is, it's not that simple.
Yeah. If I put out something on Talk Star Wars tomorrow saying everything's fine with Rogue One, no one's interested.
No.
But the clickbait sites, and that's a bit of a broad term now, but it is accurate, I guess.
Yeah.
They know there's mileage in this stuff.
Yes.
And I'm sure that there are people that think, well, there's no smoke without fire. If someone's saying there's a tonal problem with it, then clearly there's a tonal problem with it.
Well, I mean, that might be absolutely true. But
yeah, it might be, but also it might not be. It might just be that there is nothing to be said about what's going on there. And a lot of this, it seems to me that it's very easy to sort of say the sky is falling. And not have to answer for making that accusation later on. You know, it's just as empty as coming out and saying, no, everything's going to plan over at Star Wars, but you know you're going to get more traffic through the Sky is Falling story.
Yeah.
It's very sad. But I got to chat briefly this week. I can't go into too many details because I didn't tell the chap I was talking to that I would be retelling his story. So without his permission to discuss this more in depth, but I got talking to one of the X-Wing, one of the supporting actors who plays an X-Wing pilot in Rogue One.
Okay.
On Tuesday. He's a really nice guy. Really, really lovely guy. Very entertaining to talk to.
Okay.
And he was telling me that it's all part of the machine. The reshoot scenes are part of the machine. And clearly, as a supporting actor, he's not privy to all the movements that are going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But what he said to me was he hasn't been recalled. for any pickups.
And there you go.
He's in the trailer. He's one of the first people we see.
Yeah.
In the trailer, this guy. So.
Okay.
He said, the other thing he said, because again, I'm conscious that I haven't gotten his permission to say, to quote him, but.
That's fair enough.
One of the things he was saying was that they would complete a scene and that set would go.
Right.
You know, to make room for the next set and to make room for episode 8 set, you know, if they cross paths. So, to his mind, reports that they're going in to rebuild 32 sets might be because they don't have the resources to pull back in.
They spun them down. Yeah, they spun them down to make room.
Exactly. So, you know, there's exactly what you just said, Rob. We can't second guess this stuff because we don't have all the cards. We don't know what's going on. We don't know how this works.
No.
This could all be completely routine, and they might need to build 32 sets for regularly scheduled pickups because they couldn't leave all the sets standing whilst they're producing another Star Wars film and whilst they're finishing this very Star Wars film.
Most films don't have the budget to do reshoots, and they just go, oh, we'll have to go out like that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
The bigger budget you've got, the more chance there is that you'll reshoot some scenes because nothing is completely perfect once you step back and look at it.
No, it's a luxury they enjoy. Yeah. When you've got hundreds of millions of dollars to spend in the film, it's a luxury they enjoy. And why wouldn't they if it makes the film better?
It's no different to like directing a scene and the actors go and they make a mistake on the scene and the director goes, oh no, we can't do it again. Yeah. We've got to move on.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a reshoot then and there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cautionary tale.
When they're editing it, it doesn't kind of work. So they redo it.
When a director does say that's it, we're moving on, it's usually someone like Spielberg and you end up with an Indiana Jones 4.
Yeah.
Because that's when you get...
I like that film.
Yeah, well, you can be as wrong as you like. You're a grown man. When Spielberg was making that film and he did say, no, we've got it, moving on, and off they went, it's overconfidence, bordering on the arrogant to think, this is it. And then they get it in the editing suite, and perhaps it doesn't work because somebody's a little bit too large, Karen Allen, you in every scene you're in.
Or like you said about how you can have schmutz on the lens and not realise.
Yes, schmutz. Yeah. Okay, right.
Can the schmutz be with you?
We're going to do one piece of episode 8 news, and then we're going to back out of this because we're way over long. So last week there was a leak, and it came out on Stormtrooper Larry's site, saying that somebody, I think they're called Mr. Ghostface Lives, this IMD person that was leaking all this stuff. He came out last week and said, Rey is absolutely, definitely, 100% not Luke's kid.
Yep.
And he's now gone back on that, saying that from what he's seen, what he has read out of context, there's no sign that it's Luke's, that she is Luke's child. But he can't say categorically, even though last week he said categorically she was not his kid. This week he's backtracking, saying, I've read bits of script out of context. Yep. There's no sign that she is, but she could be. So,
okay.
Just goes to show that when you're listening to these little juicy, spoilery morsels coming from these people, more often than not, they're unfounded.
Yes, indeed.
Indeed,
yeah. Yes.
Stormtrooper Larry. Kyle and I were talking about this last night.
Yep.
Looks like a site to keep an eye on.
Okay.
From both aspects. There's a lot coming out through that site that's very intriguing.
Yeah.
And it does make one wonder if there's any truth to any of it. But I'm going to keep a close eye on this one.
Mm-hmm.
See what we get. Okay.
Just a quick thing.
Yes,
very, very quick. Mm-hmm. I've just been reading. I scanned Twitter, as listeners know, while we record, and I've just noticed that Lego Star Wars: The Force Awakens won the best family game at E3 this year.
Oh, really?
That's congratulations to Warner Brothers and Traveller's Tales for that.
That's awesome.
They make some fine games. I've had my trepidation. I've published it on Talk Star Wars as a written piece a while back about, and I might actually update it. Bearing in mind that obviously the demo is now available, and I can have a chance to play that and see if I'm still apprehensive about that, because my main thing was, is it going to be enough in the film? Because historically, I didn't realize to the extent to which this was true. Historically, the Lego games have always been based on more than one film property.
Mm-hmm.
They've been a trilogy or they've been a saga or something like that. And it's actually never been the case. I thought it was, I thought Jurassic World was on its own, but actually that still includes the first four film, the first three films as well. And the Marvel, the most recent Marvel Avengers one is all the standalone movies and the Avengers Assemble ensemble cast ones. So there's quite a lot of subject matter in each of those games. So I'll be interested to see playing the demo, whether it feels like there's enough game there to keep me busy for, well, I mean, now 50 quid, isn't it? Pretty much the RRP. Yeah.
I,
these things.
I played the demo yesterday, as you would, yes, as you would see. The first part went up on YouTube today, Thursday, yep. And the second part goes up tomorrow.
Still gutted that it's the first Let's Play went up on Talk Star Wars and I wasn't the one doing it.
Yeah, well, I've been gagging to do one and
yeah.
I wanted it to be Star Wars related. I might branch out and do some other games and put bits up, but it depends how popular these are. But yeah, I think I will I will be getting this Lego game and I'm tempted to get it straight away so that I can put out plenty more Let's Plays.
Yeah, cool.
Or Mark Plays as I call it. But yeah, from what I was playing, I think there's, if it is one film, it might be a short game, but there's certainly a lot to do. From what I've seen, which you may have picked up on watching the video, is there is an element where you need to go back as you've gathered more characters and do things, and it will expand the game as you replay with a full complement of characters because you need their skill sets to do certain things in certain areas.
Yeah.
So in terms of replayability, I think it's there.
Okay.
But I reckon it's going to be quite a rapid playthrough.
Yeah.
For a seasoned gamer like yourself, probably quite a rapid game play. But for me, I'll probably be doing it for 6 months.
Yeah, sometimes I like that, to be honest, because when you've got a lot of games to play through, you appreciate the ones that are really short and sweet.
Especially if it's if you've got replay value and you can go back to it and play
it from a different... If you so choose, I very rarely go back to stuff just because I've usually got 10 other games to play next.
Yeah.
It's very rare that I actually find myself with the time to go back and redo a game.
Well, I recommend people go over to our YouTube channel and check out that. Check out me playing the demo if you're interested in the game at all, because you'll see quite a lot of what the game's got to offer in there, I think, and I found it really enjoyable, really charming game.
Yeah. Obviously, if you like the videos on YouTube, then I would like to make some as well. So obviously, it'd be nice to know if people want them, and I'll do them. Obviously, if they want a particular thing. I might have to make a catalogue of all my games so people can choose. Mm. Obviously, Star Wars ones make most sense here, but obviously I'm going to be using this Twitch account for loads of different stuff. But we shall see.
Yeah. Let us know what you want to see. And we'll do it. If you want me to play the whole Lego game, let me know and I'll pick it up and we'll do it.
Yeah.
Okay, Steve, you got anything before we wrap up? You got anything you want to cover?
No, I'm ready for beddy pies.
All right, let's back out of this then. So
I had half an hour sleep last night, literally half an hour.
Blimey.
Oh, I'm fading.
Oh boy.
Okay.
I feel like Obi-Wan's cloak.
Yeah.
What, empty and brown?
Yeah.
Wow.
Strangely brown.
Yeah.
That's your rapper name, isn't it? Strangely brown. Okay.
Yeah, I love Black Adam.
Wow.
Thank you for listening to Talk Star Wars again this week. If you'd like to support what we do here, then you can head over to talkstarwars.co.uk/support, where you can become a TSW sponsor by giving as little as £1 per month securely via PayPal. When you do that, obviously, you qualify for our VIP program, so you'll get access to an exclusive feed and you'll get fun downloads and all sorts of exclusive stuff, and you'll get news about what we're doing here at TSW before everybody else. Failing that, you can support us simply by liking and following us and our posts on our various social networks. With that in mind, gentlemen, where can people find you between shows?
Rob, would you like to go first?
No, go ahead. Yours is really quick.
Well, mine's always quick, isn't it? Calastine, CalasTein on YouTube. That's all I do. I'm trying to post more videos now, and I'm getting some relatively good feedback and stuff. I just need the money because it all goes to charity in saving rainforest. So please watch the videos, hit like and subscribe. Thank you very much.
Yeah, save Endor.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, indeed so.
Endor Rob, rules.
Where can people find you?
So I'm most active on Twitter at Rob Wade Vision. You can also find me on my blog Emotionally 14, which I run with a couple of friends. I put up podcasts, written pieces, videos. There may be a new podcast by the time this episode goes out. It depends on whether I have a chance to mix it. I was hoping to get a chance last night, but it completely got away from me. As Mark, I'm sure you can appreciate this, things happen.
They do indeed, yeah.
Yeah. There's podcasts, there's videos of all different shapes and sizes. There's bits and pieces about video games, and there's written pieces, and, you know, there's just everything you could possibly ask for, and an entertainment blog is there, you know. And obviously, if there is something that you could ask for that isn't there, then I have an email address on my Twitter that people can email me and tell me what they think, and I can tailor things to make them better or add new things or take things away that aren't working, things like that. So it's all, you know, I'm trying to interact and engage more with people about that stuff to kind of shape things and make them more like what people want to see, as well as obviously what I enjoy doing. So it's got to be that in there as well.
Yeah, but, like, you're probably not going to do table dances.
Almost certainly not. That's also as much for everybody else's benefit as mine, because I don't look as good naked as Steve does, I'm afraid. And I also don't suit it nearly as much in terms of, you know, willing, so to speak. I said willing.
Before dark.
So, yeah, emotionally14.com, and I'm on Twitter at Rob Wade Vision. Those are the places to find me.
Lovely job. Thank you, old chap. You can find everything I do at talkstarwars.co.uk, and I'm on Twitter at talkstarwars. Don't forget to leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and send us a screen grab of that review from the email address that you would like to have registered for the VIP, because I'm going to draw one lucky name out of the hat, or Steve's rather convoluted spreadsheet, and you will be selected to become a VIP and get access to that exclusive feed. Anything else you want from us, just send us an email, tweet at us, anything you want us to discuss, any theories you think we got right, or anything you think we're getting wrong. I'm also opening up the show time to iMessage now as well, so you can send us an iMessage to the Talk Star Wars email address, which is talkstarwarsinfo@gmail.com. That's talkstarwarsinfo@gmail.com. Until next week then, people. May the F be with you.
May the F be with you.
Steve Holt! Woohoo!
It's a wrap.